Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Tongues is not the sign of maturity. In fact, sometimes I think that Paul described it as the least of all the gifts because it only edifies yourself. And I think the reason that's true is sometimes there are times where we need some sign, something, Lord, please show me something that you're with me or that I'm with you, that I'm connecting. And so God will do something in our life, you know, maybe that fleece. But the reason that was done is because we were weak, right? God was with me without the sign, but I needed the sign. Tongues, very often it helps those who sometimes don't realize God's there with them and they need something.
When we need help from the Lord, He faithfully meets our needs through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit teaches us spiritual lessons, giving us understanding and maturity. Spiritual maturity isn't revealed by flaunting or our parading spiritual gifts in pride. Those gifts are given by the Spirit to bring insight and understanding to the believer and to the body of Christ, to the glory of God. So in today's message, Pastor Troy will redirect us to the purpose of the Holy Spirit as God's seal upon our lives. Now, here's Pastor Troy with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
You know, there's some things we don't remember. Then we walk and, you know, a year down the road, God brings someone into our life. We'd totally forgotten about this, but all of a sudden there's another conviction, like, I want you to make this right. You didn't pursue it, nor did I ask you to, but now I have not brought it into your past. I brought it into your present. And now we're going to deal with that one too, because it still does weigh in your heart and decision making. And if you want to follow me unhindered, we're going to need to deal with this. God's good about that, bringing things to us in such a way that we don't have to go back to fix them all. We walk forward and fix them. We walk forward and do what God sets before us to do. And so Zacchaeus experiences an attitude of repentance before the Lord. And Jesus says, salvation has come to this place. John the Baptist's first message was, repent. Repentance. Don't just go, Jesus loves you. Do you believe it? I do. You're saved. Jesus loves you. Do you believe it? I don't know if I can be loved. Doesn't matter. You're saved. Because He's greater than that. Look, there's a response. There's repentance. Because of the gospel. Now, Jesus' first message was repent too. You know that? His first message was repent. Repentance shouldn't be an evil word. It just simply means, hey, acknowledge something that you're doing is not right and stop it. And if there's something that needs to be restored, do it. Shouldn't that be what every Christian says is fine with them? That's all it means. So, repent. But listen, repent is not the gospel. Repentance is something that happens in light of the gospel. The truth hits the heart and we change. We repent. But it's not the gospel. Don't get that wrong when you go out there and think it's a repent gospel. That's not the gospel. Gospel means good news. Good news is, and this is what we must never abandon when we preach the gospel, that Jesus died on the cross for our sin. He was buried. And He defeated death by rising again. See, we were lost in our sin. We're wandering around. And anyone out there who doesn't have Christ, sometimes those of us who do have Christ, we're still wandering around trying to figure out what He wants us to do because we have things we're holding on to. And so the world is lost apart from Christ, making some strange choices and doing some different things, trying to reason through life for themselves in a way that works for them. They're lost. There's no way out of that cycle. But Jesus came, one, to bear witness to the truth. He came to establish, there is truth, here it is. But he also came to show us the way, the truth, and the life. He demonstrated for us the way we ought to live. He showed us. He taught us to pray by doing it. He taught us to serve. He taught us to prioritize by doing it. On more than one occasion, he says, as I have done, do like me. As I have served, serve like me. They said, Lord, how do we pray? Teach us to pray. All right, here's how you do that. So he showed us. He also, because this was a big factor, a distancer between us and God, he paid the price for sin. Now that's for everybody. Everyone's open. You want to receive it? You can receive it. The sin covers for everyone. It doesn't run out. The pocketbook doesn't run dry. When it comes to the, it's not like Jesus goes centuries later, oh man, you want to give your life to the Lord? You weren't on in the plan. I'm going to have to die or at least spill a little more blood to cover you also. No, it covers everyone who will receive the free gift of salvation. All who will come, the scripture says. So he paid the price, but ultimately, and this is the best part of all of that, is he defeated death. He rose again. He defeated death, which was the judgment for sin. He defeated it, and he rose, and he enabled those who believe in him to defeat it as well. That is actually the good news. That is actually the gospel. The heart of the gospel is not the cross by itself. The heart of the gospel, and when you look in the New Testament, they preached the resurrection. It's the resurrection. Now, you can't have a resurrection without the cross, right? So they go together. You can't raise from the dead without dying. So they kind of go together. But the good news is not that some good man died for our sin and is dead and we can go visit his grave. The good news is that he's alive. He defeated death, and that we can too. That's the good news. That's the gospel. Don't ever fail to mention that. If you stop at the cross only, and trust me, the cross is the hinge of all eternity. We were in sin and we were stuck until the price was paid. And upon that hinge, everything changed. The resurrection, the filling of the Spirit, everything changed upon that hinge. So it is the centerpiece. It is the hinge. It is about the cross. However, the good news goes a little beyond the cross. Even Jesus looked beyond the cross to the resurrection. That's the good news. If you stop at just the cross, you end up preaching less than the gospel. It's good news that he died on the cross, but it's also very heavy. So now you got to pick up your cross. Well, he did this for you. He died for you. Instead of, hey, there's life that awaits those who travel through the cross. Looking to the cross causes us to remember, I can lay down my life. Looking beyond the cross remembers we have life. Life to live. So, when someone hears the gospel and genuinely believes in Jesus as Lord and Savior, that person is then sealed. As we continue to read, it says, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You were sealed. So, God's seal is received. First, God's truth is believed. Second, God's seal is received. When you truly acknowledge that you are a sinner, living independent of God, you turn to him in repentance, then God honors that. And God is not fooled either, by the way. He knows who's his. And because he does, he seals. Not to be unsealed, but he seals someone who he knows who is his. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22 say this. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. So there is spiritual activity, now a spiritual dynamic within the person. A connection. A lot of people talk about, when we talk about the Spirit, a lot of people get kind of weirded out because the first thing some think about is tongues. Because it's that strange manifestation that you may have been to a place where you go in and you feel very strange, awkward, not spiritual. You don't feel closer to God. You feel like getting out of there. You love God, but this is different. This is strange. I'm not talking about that because that's not what the Holy Spirit is about. The Holy Spirit is not the bells and whistles of the church. We need the Spirit. Pour out your Spirit, Lord. Woo-hoo-hoo! Yeah, you feel it now? I feel the Spirit. Woo! And we run around and we do all kind of things because the Spirit's here. That can be just euphoria. That can be, we can build that up ourselves. Our own psycho system here. Your adrenaline gets pumped. It's the Spirit. No, it's the Spirit. I feel Him. Yeah, He makes me feel better. Yeah. Now, we can do that ourselves with a little exercise. You start doing this, jumping around. Laughter can heal you. I mean, you can do that on your own. I see it. But there were times, and this is where where we get off a little bit, is there are two major times in Acts where we do see an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and tongues was a sign. Tongues was the sign. And we'll explain why. There was the kickoff first. See, God's Spirit had not been poured out in mass. It had not been poured out. This was a new thing. And so when the early church first began, they were meeting. And they were meeting for a time. And on the day of Pentecost, it says, Pentecost was already established 50 days after they celebrated the Passover and stuff. Was Pente, 50 days after. So they were celebrating. And as they're celebrating, the Lord drew people to this event that was going to take place, this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And He did it with a mighty rushing wind, the sound of a mighty rushing wind. And He drew people because of that. So here's this sound, and people are like, what's that? Where's that? And people were drawn to this location. God was bringing people to witness this. And He pours out His Holy Spirit in tongues of fire, or it's like something like tongues of fire were upon those that were with the Lord. The people observed all this, and they heard them, it says, speaking in tongues. If you read in Acts 2, it says they heard the tongues in their own language. It would be like four or five different people, five different languages, and David is speaking in tongues, and all of us hear David in our language. It's like, no, he's speaking English. No, he's speaking Russian. What? I mean, this was impressive. This grabbed attention. Now, the religious leaders, the people were like, they're drunk. But Peter explained the word of God was necessary. It wasn't just, this feels good, must be the Lord. This was something Peter explained. He said, hey, this is not drunkenness. It's only 9 o'clock, guys. I mean, first of all. But this is that which God spoke about. He's going to pour out His Spirit. He's done it. And now this is that what you see. And He gave a powerful message. 3,000 were added to the church that day. This was a powerful moment. God's Spirit was active. God's Spirit drew the people. God's Spirit drew the people. Not their weirdness. God's Spirit. And God authenticated the people. Now, speaking of authentication, this was a Jewish thing at first. So how do we get Gentiles involved? Well, later on in Acts chapter 10, Peter 1 sees this vision about eating unclean animals, and God says, hey, don't call anything unclean that I've made clean. So he gets this idea, well, what's this? You know, God's telling me to eat some unclean things. And members from Cornelius' home come, and they grab Peter and say, hey, come, you know. And so Peter goes over to Cornelius. This is the very brief version. You can read Acts for yourself. And they go to Cornelius' home. And what they witness is the exact same thing that they saw amongst them. So it was at that point a sign for the Jews that Gentiles had experienced the same outpouring as they themselves had. In fact, that's what they said. Who are we to deny them, since God has saw fit to do the same thing in them as he did in us? That was the result. And so those were two big events that many will point to, but they have nothing to do with, if you're spirit-filled, that's what happens. That's not at all what God was saying or doing. There are many who don't have the gift of tongues. The Holy Spirit was not poured out as a sign only. He was primarily poured out as a help, as a helper, to help us. See, John 16:7 says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. If I do not go away, the helper will not come to you." That's a capital H helper. It's speaking of the Holy Spirit. "But if I depart, I will send him to you." Remember, and it's a him, not an it, the Holy Spirit. Don't refer to the Holy Spirit as an it. It's not a thing. He's a him. And he leads us. He convicts us. He confirms truth to us, bears witness with us. He enables us. He counsels us. Seek his counsel first before you try everyone else. And he teaches us. It doesn't mean that you don't go to church and get taught, because the Bible says that there are those who are called to teach. So it doesn't mean you don't have to have a teacher at all at any time, because there are some who operate that way and they get very strange left to themselves, their gifts in the church. But what it means is sometimes even though someone is speaking, we're like, I don't get that. I don't understand that. You know, if somebody took me from where I'm at now and tried to explain some deep biological truth, some scientific theory or theology, and used all their formulas, I would go, I don't know what you're talking about. You can explain it in the most basic of English, but those formula things and those words that you must use to try to communicate that to me are beyond me. So what I would need is a supernatural understanding. I need help. The Holy Spirit helps those who know nothing about the spiritual aspect, the things of the Spirit, helps them connect when words that come forth from the Spirit are before them, so that they can understand, they can learn. Because this Bible, you can teach it until you're blue in the face. And if someone does not have the Spirit of God working in their life and they're not listening for that voice of the Holy Spirit, they just can't get a lot of this. It doesn't make sense to pick up your cross and deny yourself. I mean, who's going to take care of me? Well, that's what the Bible says. God takes care of you. Yeah, well, I don't know about all that. It's hard to get these things. And so, I'm always skeptical of those who feel like their maturity, or they're mature because they spoke in tongues. Or they say they have the gift of tongues. So I'm mature, I'm okay, I speak in tongues. I've always been very skeptical of that. And here's one reason why. Because I had an experience early on as God was moving in my life, doing so much to change my life and my heart and my attitude, my thinking, everything I was being transformed and changed. And I was sharing this as I was going to get out of the military, something I never thought I would do, in order to follow the Lord and serve him. I was leaving some secure job, everything I had known, everything I had built into, everything my family was. My dad was military. And so I'm getting out, and this guy that was a much higher rank than me kind of wanted to counsel me and make sure my head's on straight and everything. I'm seeking to follow the Lord. And I could tell that as I'm sharing what God's doing in my life, all that God has changed, all that God has done, he was inspired, excited. He was a Christian himself. You couldn't really tell, but he was. I knew he went to church. And so I was sharing all this, and he was like, "Wow, sounds like you really want to follow the Lord." And he goes, "Let me ask you something." And I said, "What's that?" He said, "Do you speak in tongues?" And I said, "Well, you know, I haven't got that yet." Now here I am, giving up a career, walking by faith, doing everything. My life is transformed. My family, everything's going on. And I've given all that. And he asked me about tongues. I was like, well, you know, I don't have that gift. And I haven't experienced it yet, but I'm open to anything God wants to do. And as soon as I said no, he's like, oh, I do. Like, so I got a bad taste in my mouth for those who speak in tongues and think that is their maturity level. Oh, okay, good. Because I got this sense that he was almost jealous of my faith. And then all of a sudden, oh, good, I'm more spiritual than you. Whew. I thought you were more spiritual than me for a minute. But that's not true, because I speak in tongues and you don't. Look, tongues is not the sign of maturity. In fact, sometimes I think that Paul described it as the least of all the gifts, because it only edifies yourself. And I think the reason that's true is sometimes there are times where we need some sign, something, Lord, please show me something that you're with me or that I'm with you, that I'm connecting. And so God will do something in our life, you know, maybe that fleece. But the reason that was done is because we were weak, right? God was with me without the sign, but I needed the sign. Tongues, very often it helps those who sometimes don't realize God's there with them and they need something when God does it. Now, if you had to practice and practice and practice and practice and practice and practice until one day tongues kind of came out, I don't know about that one. But God does what we need to help us. The Holy Spirit does what we need to help us. And he knows what we need. And God seals us with the Holy Spirit. Now, the sealing. I'm going to speed up here, but the seal speaks of a finished transaction. He seals you. It's done. It's a finished transaction. We understand that concept of a seal today. You finish certain paperwork. You file them. They seal it. It's done. It has been done. It's approved. You got the seal. But the seal also speaks of ownership. I put my seal. It's my seal that's put on it. See, God seals us because we belong then to him. He's doing a work in us, causing us to become more Christ-like. And those who are sealed by the Spirit of God don't have a problem with that. Those who aren't, who are playing the religious game, you hear, you belong to God. I don't like that. Well, maybe you don't belong to God then, because those who do love it. Because we are thankful. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20 says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. It's not yours. I take offense to that. Do you realize the price he paid? And have you received it? Have you received it? Have you received salvation? Because if you said, yeah, go ahead and pay my bill, Lord. All right, good. Now I want you to follow me. Wait a minute. I don't want to do all that. Then maybe you're not in it to follow him. Like the ones who followed him for his miracles. Do you remember the time where Jesus said some hard things and they all went away? And he says, I had to. Because I had to get rid of the riffraff, basically, is what he said. He said, there's a lot of people following. And they were following him for the miracles. They were following him for the food, because even when there's no food, Jesus can produce. And so they were following him for that. But when the hard things are said, the chaff blows away. And so God says hard things at times. But those who are his don't have a problem with the hard things.
As we learn more about the church at Ephesus in Pastor Troy's continuing study, we find that there is much to learn from the trials and struggles these early Christians endured. The guidance provided to them from the Apostle Paul still applies to our lives today. We will learn even more as we dig deeper into this letter. If you'd like to hear more from Building on the Solid Rock, visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can also subscribe to our podcast to have the latest messages from Pastor Troy as soon as they're available. You'll find a link on our website, or you can subscribe on iTunes. If you've been encouraged by today's message, we'd love to hear from you. feel free to send us an email through buildingonthesolidrock.com and let us know how we can be praying for you on your continuing journey of faith. That's all the time we have for today. Join Pastor Troy on the next edition of Building on the Solid Rock for more from his verse-by-verse study through the book of Ephesians.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow.